have plenty of pictures, so I will keep in time, no problem. I am briefly going to go through, anyway, cowpea as a versatile pulse crop, development of improved varieties, three categories, diverse, durable, and diet plus means nutritious, improved cowpea-based cropping systems, strip cropping, double cropping, and niche cropping, 60-day in wheat rice system and some other systems in India, mechanized cowpea cultivation in US and Brazil. A quiet revolution has happened in last few years, and I'll show some data on that. And then potential of cowpea as a major legume in 21st century. I think most of you know that the cereals and legumes evolved in pairs in different regions of the world. Soybean and rice in China, pea lentils along with wheat in Middle East, cowpea and sorghum in Africa, beans and maize in Central America, potato, cassava, and peanuts in South America. As if we were destined to eat beans and cereals, starch and protein together for a balanced diet. But it so happened with the progress of agriculture that cereals went ahead and had green revolution, but pulses were left behind. So much so that very little pulse is available now in the third world, where still pulses are main source of protein. So what can we do, or whether there is any chance of pulses to catch up with cereals in terms of green revolution? Also a slide, how important it is for us to go back to eat cereals and pulses for good health. So cowpea is truly a versatile crop, and if you look at it, is grown for yard-long beans as a vegetable leaf in eastern southern Africa, for vegetable as a fodder crop, and then a lot of grain types which can be grown in many systems. So this is a crop that comes out over all other pulses for its versatility in different types. These are the major cowpea growing areas. Most of the cowpeas, actually cowpea originated somewhere in southern Africa, and still Africa is the main producer of cowpea and northeast Brazil, but it is grown in about 65 countries. And in future, my prediction is it will fit into many systems, and it will be important in many other regions also. Overall, it's about 14 million hectares in 65 countries with 6.3 million tons production. But most of the cowpea is produced in West Africa, mostly here, and Nigeria and Niger are the largest producers, 5 million hectares and 3 million hectares each. And it is grown in a very low input intercropping systems. Those are cowpea plants. This is millet plant here. Grains are very important, and also the fodder. So IIPA has a global mandate for cowpea improvement, and I spent 27 years of my life there. I retired in 2006, and I'm working partly in India and partly in Texas A&M as a visiting professor and continuing my work on cowpea, and I'll briefly mention that. So during this period, breeding has been done, quite a bit of improvement has been done, and also for disease resistance, biotic as well as abiotic constraints have been taken care of, and recently we have come up with a variety with 30% protein with a lot of iron and zinc. And just quickly, our pass through. So we IIT had a collection of 16,000 germplasm lines, and we screened most of those, and we have resistance to almost all the diseases that you can think of, and including Striga, which is a major constraint in West Africa. We have a single dominant gene that kills Striga when it comes close to cowpea plant, and this has been incorporated there. For insects, we have resistance to aphids, aphid resistance, thrip resistance, brookid resistance, and some level of Maruca, and I'll show a slide that BT gene has been now incorporated in cowpea, and we have Maruca resistance also. These BT cowpea lines will be available maybe 4 or 5 years from now, and that will revolutionize cowpea production. Then the drought tolerance, this is one of the classical cases where we use conventional breeding method to identify genes for drought tolerance. This is a box screening where you put test lines and irrigate for 2 weeks, and after that don't irrigate it. Then you watch them die, see which one dies last. And that is, this is a cowpea variety. This is soybean and maize, they die within a week. And in box screening, this is the drought tolerant cowpea, the susceptible cowpea. Combine this with deep dense root system with heat tolerance, and you have a super drought tolerant cowpea, super tolerant. This is low phosphorus tolerance. Also, the low fertility is a major problem. There are cowpea lines that do well even under low fertility. And so this is the work that has been done there, and we are continuing this work in Texas A&M on low P tolerance. And these are some of the new varieties that do well in low. So here is a slide that shows the progress over years. I joined IIT in 1981, and you can see the previous varieties were mostly susceptible to many diseases, and the new varieties in around 2000, we have resistance to most everything, except for Maruca, which now BT will take care of it. So over time, and we were growing four crops a year, it can mature in about 60, 65 days, so we can make very fast progress. And seed color, there is a preference for seed color around the world. In West Africa, they want white and brown. In Cuba, they want black seed. In East Africa, they want red and other places. So we have all the colors represented. And recently, with the Harvest Plus project of CDIR, we have some funds. And you see the top variety has 30% protein, 77 ppm iron, calcium, potassium, and so on. So we have lines which are very, very nutritious compared to all other legumes that you can think of. And the fourth one on the top is 205-8. This variety is also equally good, but it is resistant to all the diseases, insect, striga, and everything. So these two varieties have been already released in many countries. So we have made that progress there. And now there is an emphasis on health, not just nutrition. So some of these cowpea varieties have very high level of antioxidants. And at Texas A&M, we have a dry pulse project where we are working with Dr. Avika and others. And hopefully in a few years, these genes will be put in many varieties. So for a variety improvement, this is a local variety grown in Africa and many other places where the cowpea varieties would crawl on the ground 3 meters this way, 3 meters that way. So if you cut 1 square meter area, very little dry matter will come out, even though it covers the ground, but there is no aerial volume. So how do you increase the biomass, where the both grain and fodder are important, is to raise the height. And from the germplasm, see the left corner picture, we have erect type variety with a spreading type. You cross them, combine with the early maturing type, and we have these types of improved varieties following almost the wheat and rice phenomena. It is almost similar. So that first on the right side is a slide from 1982 when I was working in IIT. These are the recent varieties. So we have a dual-purpose grain and fodder and purely grain 60-day to 70-day maturity. And these are very, very high yielding. This is one of the field shots of one of the 75-day grain type variety, which you can tell just like wheat and rice. It is no different. So from crawling type on the ground, we have made cowpea just like wheat and rice. And these are some of the yield figures of the improved varieties, 2 to 2.5 tons per hectare, 3 to 4 tons fodder, compared to the local varieties below, down, which are much, much less. So in terms of yield potential, and this is about between 60 to 75 day maturity. And I was in Africa for many years. We used to have field days where chiefs and emirs and governors will come there and tour us, and they will be happy to see this. These varieties are distributed to over 65 countries around the world. And many of these countries have released the improved cowpea varieties and benefiting from this. Over 65 countries have released varieties directly received from IITM. So for cropping system now, most of the cowpea is grown as intercrop in Africa, and we had a project from USAID on how to improve the system itself and bring improved cowpea varieties so that we can increase the productivity. So this is the typical intercropping of sorghum and cowpea. And you can see how cowpea is being shaded with the tall sorghum. And because of the low fertility, the farmers have not planted closely. It is a very wide spacing. If you plant closely, you'll get nothing because there is not much fertility. So how do we improve this system? If we have a small amount of input, we take the sorghum and put on the side row, this sorghum on the side row, we'll have a strip in between so that we can have sole crop cowpea without shading. And you still have the same number of plants of sorghum on the side. And when you do that, we had a couple of PhD students. This is the system we found was the best. Two rows of cereals and four rows of cowpeas. Two rows of cereals will give yield of three rows of cereals because there is no competition on the side. so there is no competition, so you get almost very high yield. And cowpea is get no shading. So if you have a small amount of fertilizer, Africa has very little fertilizer, for 7 to 8 kilogram per hectare per year compared to 500 kilogram in Netherlands. So if you have a small amount of fertilizer, top dress the sorghum. And cowpea had Maruka problem, which I think will be solved now here, but at present we have. So you spray once or twice the cowpea. So selective use of limited inputs, fertilizer to cereals, insecticide to cowpea. And when you do that, you get the magic. Very high yielding sorghum and very high yielding cowpea. 300-400% yield gain, both in terms of fodder and grain. And if you use a local sorghum, which are photosensitive, erect, almost like bamboo, 15, 16 feet tall, you get a lot of biomass, a lot of sorghum, and a lot of cowpea. So this is something that came. And the USAID had a young officer in Abuja. He gave us some funds, and we did some participatory evaluation of this new variety. So we gave them some seed. And this on the top right is the farmer's own variety and system, and below are the two demonstrations that were there. And it became so popular that we had hundreds and thousands of farmers coming for this. So those on the top are the traditional intercropping that is still very well in Africa, and below are the improved strip cropping 2:4 system with minimum inputs, little bit of fertilizer and a little bit of insecticide. And here is an example of double cowpea from the same maize crop. So the farmer on the top left is sitting on his own traditional crop. It's the onion, pepper, maize intercrop that you can see. And on his left side is our demonstration, which I have brought on the right side. 2 rows of sorghum, maize, and 4 rows of cowpea. He harvested the first 60-day cowpea and planted another 60-day cowpea. He got 3 tons of cowpea and 2 tons of maize from the same field where he used to get 200, 300 kilograms. So 2 crops of cowpea, this was a little wetter area. So you can really intensify cropping. And so this became very, we started with 11 farmers in 2000. When I left in 2006, we had 300,000 farmers growing all over. And this is the women farmers, Muslim women who are confined to homes. They came out with their husbands and started growing cowpea for themselves. They keep goats, so the cowpea fodder will be fed to goat, and the grain they will make some dishes and sell in the market for earning incomes. And this is what has happened. In 1961, the production in some of the countries I have taken was very little. Up to 1981, the growth was not much. But actually, 1990 onwards, there is a surge of production. So Nigeria used, when I joined IIT, 1981, Nigeria was producing half a million tons of cowpea, now produces 3.2 million tons. Niger was, you know, almost a quarter million, now it is 1.3 million, and Burkina Faso. So overall, in Africa, it has almost become 4 times cowpea production was there. Now, I took this 60-day cowpea to India. Indians are the ones who are largest consumers of grain legumes for protein, and it is not much that is produced. Most of the good land has gone for wheat and rice, and pulses have been put to marginal land. So Indians don't get much. Our per capita availability of grain legumes in 1947, when we became independent, was 90 gram per person per day. Now it is only 36 grams, so very little. So we are trying to put this. Now these are the different pulses grown in India, and you can see the color diversity. But most of these mature between 100 to 150, 130 days. And so they compete with cereals. You can't increase their area, and the yield cannot be increased because most of them have disease problems. So we thought that here is an opportunity to bring cowpea in between wheat and rice, 60-day cowpea. Wheat is planted in November, harvested in end of March, and rice is transplanted in end of June. So in between we have about 85 days time. And after my retirement, I thought, let me see if it works, then we will make some contribution to Indian grain legume production. So this is the idea of bringing 60-day cowpea. So this is a summer, April, May, June, hottest month in India. So the variety has to be heat tolerant. It should be photo insensitive and high yielding. So we brought 5-6 varieties from my program in IIT and tested. And lo and behold, 2-3 of them became very good. This is one of them. And we have now got 2 projects. The state government is supporting. I'm getting some money from Post-Harvest Plus project of CGIAR, and we have that. And this is the new six, seven varieties representing different colors. So we have made colors for each other grain legume. And you can see 60 days, 70 days a day to harvest, not maturity. 60 to 65 days we harvest, and the yield is about 1.5, 1.6 tons. One of the variety gave us this year 2-ton seed. So it is possible to get up to 2 tons. But even 1.5 tons in 60 days is like cereals in terms of per day productivity. So we're very happy. And the state government is very happy with this. So these are the new varieties. We have black, green, brown, red to match up with any other legumes like chickpea or pigeon pea or green gram and everything. So we have cowpea that will replace in terms of eating consumer goods everywhere. And this is a professor of home science. They are developing many dishes in addition to other dishes that are produced by the legumes. And our engineers have developed zero-till for this, so you harvest, combine the wheat, then irrigate, and immediately plant with a cone planter, zero-till, and you get a very good crop. So we don't lose time, there is no need for missing it. And then herbicide, you spray one herbicide, and that takes care of. So we have got the agronomy worked out, and these two varieties have done very well. The top one has 30% protein, a lot of iron and zinc. The lower one has 27% protein, iron, zinc. These two have been already released in Uttarakhand as Panth Lobia 1 and Panth Lobia 2. Panth Lobia 2 was released this year, and Lobia 1 was last year. These are some of the farmers that are very happy with this crop. So now I'm doing something in Texas A&M. You know, southern U.S. grows a lot of cowpea, but only in a limited way. Can we increase cowpea production in southern U.S.? And that would be example for rest of the world around. So we already, Dr. Clayton Miller and his team was working on cowpea, and when I came, we expanded that team. We have now 3 externally funded projects, one on the nutrition from the dry pulses, low phosphorus tolerance, and the drought tolerance, which Dr. Bill Payne, who is here, is leading this thing. So Texas has a lot of ranches, and they grow beef for meat, and these are just left like this throughout the year. And some places you grow wheat or maize. So we find that after harvesting wheat or maize in June, you can plant a crop of 60-day cowpea before winter comes. So you can have double cropping. And the grain can be eaten by human beings or exported to Asia and India and feed the homes to cows, which will be equally nutritious. It's about 17-18% protein. So we are hoping to increase cowpea production in Texas state as an example, and this will go for another area. So this is the cowpea team there in Texas A&M. We're about five students and 5-6 scientists are working together. And Texas, if you see the irrigation map from the right to left, is low. The right is high rainfall, low land. It almost looks like Nigeria. And there is a lot of potential to grow cowpea. And throughout the year, you have a rainy small quantity that keeps the cowpea alive. So it's a perfect scene for growing cowpea. The two major problems were aphid and drought, and we have got the genes from Nigeria for aphid resistance works there, so it was very easy. We have incorporated that, and the plant type also improved. So these are some of the new plant types that have been developed there. They mature in 55 days, 55, 60 days. There is tremendous potential to increase cowpea cultivation there. Now, Brazil, I have got some slides for Brazil. Brazilians have developed a mechanized cultivation, and I go every third year in their national meeting that they have. And from almost less than quarter million ton, now they're producing 500,000 tons. So their cowpea production has gone up. They're clearing land in Amazon area and bringing with cowpea thousands of hectares every year. And here is a slide. On the left is a new clearing with cowpea. On the right, it is 2 rows of cassava and 4 rows of cowpea. One of their scientists visited IIT when I was doing this strip cropping, and they are using it for 2 cassava and 4 cowpea. It's coming beautiful, and this is the thing that they have. This was one of the field days. And one farmer brought these slides, and he grows 1,000 hectares alone every year, and he grows 2 of the varieties that were released from IIT. So he was very happy to see me, and he said he has already contacted 2 Indians who import his cowpea in India, and that is the way to go. India still imports 3-4 million tons of grain legumes from outside. Canada is making a lot of money selling lentils to India. But cowpea can be grown and sold to India and Africa and so on. So he plants with mechanized, and this is his mechanized germination, and this is his mechanized crop, and then he harvests with the mechanical instrument. 1,000 hectares he handles himself. So this is the production of pulses compared to cowpea. I'm just saying that relative increase of cowpea production compared to other pulses. So if you see over 61, cowpea 635% over 61. But if you see between 81 and 2009, cowpea 73%, much higher than anything, including cereals. So in the last 10 years, cowpea has grown much faster than any other thing. So compared to all the legumes, cowpea has done well, and it is doing well even before. And my next slide is, the cowpea is going to be the pulse crop of 21st century. And those my grain legume colleagues should not feel bad. But this is because this is the only crop that can mature in 60 days, has very high potential, looks like wheat and rice, has 30% protein and iron and zinc. And I'm sure that it will go through. And the reason is there is a plateau in other grain legumes. Most of the good land has gone to cereals, and legumes have to fit into the niches in between cereals gaps, and cowpea is the only one that will match on this. And so the potential for quantum increase in cowpea due to expanded area, niche cropping, and Maruka resistant line has come, which will double the yield without any insecticide. And then the emerging high food value, high protein and biofortified things that will coming. So this is the new plant types which the breeders can do anything they want, a 55 to 60 day crop. And this is the Maruka resistant BT gene that has been put into this, thanks to Monsanto gave a donation of the gene for Africa, and Dr. T.J. Higgins from Australia put this gene into this. We are testing it in Nigeria, and 3-4 years time, hopefully, it will be available to the farmers. And just to see how Maruka alone will make a difference, if you spray 2 times to control Maruka, you get 2.6 tons yield. If you don't spray, you get only 500 kilograms. So 2 tons gain will come from BT gene per hectare. Even if it is 1 ton, right now the average is 400 kilograms. It becomes 1 ton, you'll get 3 times, 4 times more yield. So I'm very hopeful that cowpea production will triple, quadruple in coming years. And another thing that is developing is the meat eating. You know, a lot of cereal production in U.S., 600 million tons of grain is being fed to cows to generate meat, cows, pigs, and chicken. And that meat eating is good, limited quantity. But if you eat too much, it gets into trouble. So there is a consensus now in developed world that cut down meat and eat more pulses. So I'm hoping that in future, the meat eating per capita will go down and consumption of crop like cowpea will increase. So market should not be a problem. I thank you very much. These are slides from India, Africa, and U.S. And I'm very hopeful that cowpea will catch up with grain legumes in revolution. Thank you very much.
We have time for one quick question for Dr. Singh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Question and comment. The comment is we're always looking for examples of research in developing countries that has a benefit back to the U.S. so that we can tell Congress to support it. And you're giving us a nice example. They're in Texas, so best wishes for that. And then the strip cropping system that you showed us photographs in Nigeria. Do you have any idea what the smallest parcel of land is on which that could be effectively used? Could a farmer have too small a hole to meet that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And our requirement was 1/4 of an acre. 1/4 of an acre is 1,000 square meter. So 1,000 square meter is what we needed. And that most of the farmers in northern Nigeria where I was located have a minimum of 1 hectare. So this was not a problem. And actually, they wanted to put most everything in this system because they're gaining much more. And the trick was we were giving them seed, insecticide, and fertilizer on credit for 3 months and then collecting in kind after the harvest. And they were too glad to return it. It was so good. And it continued. It is still going on in a limited way. Thank you.
Let's give Dr. Singh and all of our speakers a